It is 7:31, time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Margot Adair and Bill All, who are both with the organization Tools for Change, and they're in to talk about their organization and what they do. Thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start out, and perhaps you can tell us what exactly is Tools for Change.
Tools for Change is an organization that is dedicated to bringing history, heart, spirit, values, and vision into the center of public life. And we do that through a combination of different programs. One of them is helping initiate doing some circle work where people can come together and speak from the heart, grapple with the conditions in the world, and do some deep reflection. I think given what's happening in the world now, it's really time that we go deep and find both the strength and the vision that we might be able to effectively bring about some balance in the world. So that's what we do.
Okay. And do you primarily work with individuals or groups?
Both. We work with individuals on helping them to see themselves as powerful change agents in the world, and also to reconceive the world in a way that allows them to move. And we work with organizations on strategy and vision work so that they can become more and more powerful institutions for change, if that's not a contradiction.
Okay, can you give us some examples of perhaps some groups you worked with during the last year without revealing any trade secrets or anything?
Well, actually, more than groups in particular, one of the projects we've been working on is something called Intermovement Dialogues, where we've been bringing leaders from grassroots, mainly people of color organizations in the poor people's movements and environmental justice movements, together with some of the anti-globalization and economic justice organizations, which tend to be white-run and led. And the object here is to bring people together in small groups to build relationships and to deal with some of the hard stuff that have kept us apart over the past 20,000 years, but in particular in the past 20 years. And this project came about in the wake of the WTO, where the question was not just where were the people of color on the streets in Seattle, but where were the people of color in the planning and the strategizing for an anti-globalization movement, knowing that folks of color have been living with the consequences of globalization for the past 500 years. So the project that we're working on is not only with individual organizations, but to bring folks from across different organizations together to understand their history, each other's history and vision, and to begin to work on some of the areas where people rub up against each other. And it's been a really powerful experience to set a table where folks can come and tell their stories, and beyond tell their stories, really understand why people are making certain kinds of projections about what should happen in the movement. So that's kind of vague in one way, but the idea is not to come up with a new coalition, but for people who are already working together on the streets or, you know, in policy work, how they can really understand each other and then have each other's backs when faced with adversity.
I think one of the things that we're engaged in is inspiring a cultural transformation, because there's ways in which the dominant culture only pays attention to particular aspects of ourselves, where culture ends up getting relegated to Saturday night at best, and it's not taken seriously as what could be part of informing what we might do. And further, that working with the imagination, working with reflection, working with the holistic sides of our brain, working with our hearts, all of that is considered sentimental, and it's not where the real hard analysis comes out of. And when we only focus on our rational sides, we end up fragmenting our movement, we end up fragmenting our relationships, and not able to connect heart to heart, which is not to say we shouldn't have critical analysis. But if we only have critical analysis, we have no vision and we have no heart in which we can connect well with one another so that we can share our stories and sort out what's the best way to move forward or multiple ways. It's not that, as Bill was saying, we're not trying to build the grand coalition. We are trying to create ways that people can really come to an appreciation of where one another are coming from and build the relationships that will get us through the long haul so we don't just burn out or get mad at each other. And the way in which our competitive conditioning and attachment to rationalism has really, it's not going to get us through. It's not going to sustain us. I mean, that's a good chunk of why we burn out.
Right. It's also interesting in this election year to see how many of our folks who were about challenging the corporations and challenging the power structure that exists in this country moving to, we got to get rid of Bush, and so let's figure out who's the person that we should be working for in the electoral system. And it's not that working on the electoral system isn't key at this moment, but how do we create a new way that really involves folks so that we're conceiving of what changes should happen and telling our so-called elected representatives what they should be thinking, as opposed to saying, oh, well, we're supporting this person because she or he is about healthcare reform or stopping the war in Iraq. It's like we should be imagining the future and then asking our politicians to move in that direction.
So it's moving from, instead of being reactive, to being proactive?
Yeah. Proactive both in terms of taking action and proactive in terms of trying to create a world view that's different from where we've doing the same old, when we try to create changes in people's material conditions by creating an anti-poverty system that really recreates the conditions of poverty, or we try to work on the environment and create some laws that are really key to protecting the environment but haven't created an economic system that is about sustaining the earth. And so that when economic conditions change slightly, all those laws get yanked away. So how do we use our imaginations and our critical thinking to come up with new approaches to policy and new approaches to organizing society? And that's the power of the circle work, is to create places where folks can come together and get personal support, but also to dream really big and then to weave their dreams together to start to create new ways of being together and thinking together that are going to lead us in new directions. I don't know if that's...
One of the things that we've been involved with for many years is doing a lot of anti-racism work, doing trainings around what's now called diversity, working around issues of sexism and heterosexism and ableism. And there's a few things that are really important around that work. On the one hand, it's fairly clear to us that in whatever ways any ones of us may have privilege, we're not aware. We're usually really not aware of how it is what we're doing and our approaches to the world may be perpetuating oppression in ways that we just didn't understand. We didn't need to understand. That's what the nature of privilege is, on the one hand. So it's really key to come to understand that. But to simply understand it, what happens is then our whole focus of attention is looking for what's wrong. And I realized pretty early on that it's like there's very little vision in that work. And without vision, we keep recreating it no matter how well we understand it. And this is the part that's so important about consciousness. And a significant portion of our work is rooted in a process which we call applied meditation, where we begin to take responsibility and work with how we're thinking. And what one realizes is that whatever's in the imagination at any given moment is how we're acting in the world, okay? If you have a fear of heights, you don't have to be standing on a ledge to get your adrenaline pumping. All you got to do is imagine it. We are always moving through the world loyal to how we're imagining what's going to unfold. And if we don't pay attention to that, then, you know, we keep recreating it. So if we don't work with our imagination to create vision, when the only thing that is filling our imagination is these relations of domination, then we're going to recreate them no matter how well we understand it. That's why vision isn't something that should be relegated to, well, it's nice if we have time. It's essential. Without vision, we don't transcend history. We certainly can't create a different world.
So your organization itself, do you tend to, are you proactive in seeking out these groups to work with them and work with these individuals, or do they tend to come to you after something is like breaking down and blowing up?
Both.
Go ahead. It's actually been very instructive to watch the history around anti-oppression work and diversity work over the past 10 or 15 years, and how much effort we've put into trying to change organizations through developing awareness of in terms of multiculturalism, in terms of the history of racism in this country and heterosexism and all the different isms. And the institutions change very little. People change, but the institutions tend to have this resiliency of keeping these structures of domination in place. So it's we get called in to work on those situations oftentimes when it breaks down, like you were saying, and you can patch things up, and you can certainly help people launch on their journey towards thinking and doing towards thinking and creating new ways of being together that are not racist and not heterosexist and so on. But the structures tend to stay the same. So we're really interested in working with those folks, but we're also really focusing in the circles work that is springing up around the country in creating like think tanks for new ways of doing things and new structures and new groups and organizations that are based in different kinds of principles. That people create themselves based on all the, you know, their understanding of what's happened in the past, and also of, well, how can we create justice as opposed to how can we correct the injustices? How can we create conditions where justice reigns?
One of the things that is really basic to our work is appreciating the power of spirit and culture and the imagination, as we've been saying. And those are all things that are, we're told to leave at the door. That the, when we're doing the real serious work, we're going to approach things from a objective point of view. And what that does is it really cripples us in being able to do what we need to do, because it's those very things that are left at the door. I mean, that's part of what assimilation is about in this country. It's those parts of ourselves that we have to leave at the door that are the very things that are going to get us through these hard times. We need to reclaim our imagination. We need to create space where we can speak from the heart. We need to be able to really go into deep reflection. And we have a culture now that says, don't speak up unless you know what you're talking about. Well, if the only way you can say something is to have to justify it, that completely cuts out our being able to speak from any intuitive place, because the very nature of intuition is you never know why you know what you know, you just know it. So we need to create a more spaciousness between us so that we can begin to reflect in deeper ways and use more of ourselves to both knit our relationships together and move forward in making change.
A lot of this sounds like it would apply very well just as individuals. I know is a big reason why this country is in the hurt that it is right now is because we as citizens aren't really doing our job to a degree. I mean, the fear has been integrated into the society to such a level that people pretty much stay in their homes. And as you said, we're not allowed to speak unless we're an expert on something. Just leave that to the economists, you know. And I know that coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, you've got a book out on this as well that I believe addresses a lot of these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I have brought out a book called Working Inside Out, which actually originally came out in the 80s and has been redone with much help from Bill by Sourcebooks. I'm doing a reading this afternoon at Elliott Bay. Working Inside Out is really about reclaiming consciousness and working with the power of spirit and the power of the imagination to maintain well-being in our personal lives and be able to be more effective in creating change in the world, however one defines that. And absolutely, there's definitely lots of people use the book just for personal transformation. I mean, when we begin to reclaim the power of consciousness, we can learn how to tap into healing energy at will. We can learn how to tap our intuition at will. We don't have to wait for it to dawn on us or hope that we're going to be healed. But it becomes a part of everyday life. And I think that these powers have been taken away from us. And we don't trust our awareness. We don't even know how to use intuition at all, how to tap into it, much less have it be a part of our everyday life. So Working Inside Out is really a journey on reclaiming consciousness, knowing how to work with it, knowing how to tap both intuition and healing. And when we're working from a deeper state of consciousness, it's in those places that we develop incredible resonance with one another. So there's a lot in the book that is about helping people create cohesion in groups.
So, in fact, it's part of the American individualism, which has kept us apart from each other. And one of the ways that that's been true is like spirituality and creativity are an individual act. And one of the changes in Working Inside Out from the first edition to this one is that we realize that there's some real power when people share their visions in a safe space and not to create a hierarchy. Like right now, there's two ways that people use vision. One is I have the vision and I'm going to lead you all forwards, the hierarchical model. The other is everybody's got their own individual visions and nobody's is better than anyone else's. And so I think one of the issues around the anti-globalization movement and the left in general is nobody wants to let go of their individual vision. So we have this chaotic situation where my vision's equal to yours, so I'm going to do my thing, you're going to do your thing, and that's that. But what would happen if we are able to weave our visions together in ways that each support each other, as opposed to either one of those two extremes of there's only one vision and this is the way forwards, our hierarchical system friends, and everything's equal, so I'm going to do my own thing. So part of the shift from the 1980s to 2000, you know, to where we are now, is it's time for us to take our individual work and move together collectively, not losing our individual selves and giving into a collective structure that suppresses our uniqueness, and not staying just in the unique, I have the pure vision and I'm going to go and do my thing, so which keeps us from creating effective mass action.
I think one of the things in this country is that the biggest malaise that we that infects all of us is this individualism, and we all feel like we're not enough. We feel like we're excluded. We have to prove ourselves, and there's a anxiety that runs deep in the psyche of most people from the U.S. And the ability to come together in public space and really evoke the power of spirit without stepping on anybody's toes in terms of their particular religious traditions, if they have any. But how do we create spaces where we can really tap the power of spirit? Because it's in the power of spirit where we feel our connection. It's in the power of spirit where we can transcend, and we do transcend our individualism. We step out and we are there for each other. We feel held. And most people's experience with spirit has been in oppressive context, often being a hierarchical religious context, where I'm not saying that that's true in all religious contexts, but we all know that in many religious contexts, people There's such a hierarchy and such, it's almost become empty of this connectivity that that we really need to be able to reclaim. And without it, we continue to be isolated and unable to work well with each other and feel a sense of connection, and we get burnt out.
Seems to me that if you look at the couple of the common areas where people tend to get their collective spirit together are concepts like patriotism, when we're all rallying around the troops or whatever, and for instance, like sporting events, you know, and it's like that's where you're like with other people supposedly on similar goal, and you get these you know, rushes for a period of time. And other than that, it's with the exception of maybe some people who gather in churches and stuff, it doesn't seem like in this society there's many places that people get together. And those couple examples aren't real inspiring to me as being something that's really moving us as a people, as a you know, yeah, life forward.
Well, I actually think there's a groundswell of people looking towards spirit because our lives have become, there's such a sense of emptiness, the way in which public life is just filled with niceties and we can't be authentic with one another. But the problem is that most of these contexts are devoid of political perspectives, and they're devoid of really grappling with the state of the world. So, and it's not like people don't care. I mean, everyone wants the next generation to inherit the earth, you know. I mean, and everyone has this gnawing anxiety that maybe it won't. So the trick, and it's what the Institute is dedicated to, is to create spaces where we can come together in spirit and grapple with the state of the world. And there's all kinds of different ways we might do that. And for instance, when we were during the time of the WTO, we developed a meditation with the help of Ruby Phillips, who's a local person involved with the Freedom Project here in town. We created a meditation called Developing Being Able to Stand Firm with Our Shared Intentions, so that we went to, like, you know, many, many, many meetings and took 5 minutes for people to go into a reflective place and remember why they were doing the work and then create something that symbolized that to them in their own imagination. Simple. Not a big deal. But that way, when you've done that in advance and when the tear gas is happening or when, you know, there's, you know, saboteurs trying to disrupt what's going on, you can bring that symbol to your awareness in a matter of a second and be able to stand your ground and not panic and be able to create a way in which they can't overcome our standing strong and our shared intent. So that's the kind of thing we need to develop, those kinds of skills, so that we can create a way of bonding together in the public that's not about patriotism. It's about protecting our humanity and the earth.
And those two examples, people feel the spirit, but they don't create the spirit. Patriotism and sports events are symbols that are given to us. And what we're talking about in creating these circles and doing the work in individual consciousness is people creating their own symbols for justice, for power, their own imagination of where the country ought to go, and not on taking received wisdom from the higher powers. We should talk a couple seconds about the circles, Margot, and the diverse ways that people are coming together in Seattle and around San Francisco and other places.
Well, one of the things that we do in circle is we do these, we've been talking about what applied meditation, we've been talking about reflection. We come together to share our stories and to reflect, and applied meditation is a process that I've developed over the last 20 or 30 years now, actually, which combines working with visualization, working with intuition, and mindfulness. These are three different approaches to working with consciousness that rarely cross paths, and to do that together. So we come together in circle and together really grapple with what's true in our both our personal lives and in the larger conditions that we're facing, so that we can build the strength that we need and have the support that we need to be able to act on our values in the world. These circles are we're we're launching a network of these around the country, and we provide both the curriculum and logistical support. We're not charging money for them. The vision is that as the infrastructure of this country continues to kind of fall out from under us, we need to create communities so that we can be there for each other. And these circles are a way to begin to do that and for people to come together and support each other and work with reflection. So we work with circles. We also do workshops and go into organizations and provide some skill training for people to be able to sustain themselves through the long haul.
All right, we only have a few minutes left. We're talking with Margot Adair and Bill All, who are with Working for Change. And Margot, you wanted to, you're doing a reading later today, and you wanted to include a little bit of that now. You're going to be reading this afternoon at 5 p.m. at Elliott Bay Book Company, which I think most of our listeners know where that's at.
Yeah, we've been talking about vision, and I thought I'd read a little section from Working Inside Out. A vision. If we can imagine it, we can create it. What if trust were to society what oil is to machinery? Imagine a world that runs on trust. Imagine a world where we have learned to be honest with ourselves and with each other. Where the only safe way of being is to be honest. Imagine a world where respect is sacred, where intuition, spirituality, emotions were all as valued as the intellect, where our stories weave wonder into the world, where care becomes the currency of exchange. Imagine a society that lives in the synchrony with nature, where human life is sustained on renewable sources of energy, as nature is, where the earth is cherished and whatever is taken out is returned. Imagine knowing that there would always be a place for you, for your family, a place for everyone. Imagine feeling like you always belong. Imagine a world where responsibilities were of equal importance to rights, where it is understood that enough is good and more than enough isn't. Imagine a world where there is collective support in overcoming of individual limitations, where mistakes aren't hidden but welcomed as opportunities to learn. Imagine a world where power without accountability was history, a world where bureaucracy was like the dinosaur is extinct. Imagine a time when work has regained its creativity, where you are a part of the decisions that make a difference, a time when curiosity, inquiry, vulnerability are all held as sacred. People make history. We can choose respect, trust, mutual aid. We can choose life. We can choose to heal the earth. We can choose to heal humanity. We can breathe life into this vision. We can breathe life into our visions. We can weave our visions together.
All right, we're talking with Margot Adair and Bill All with Tools for Change. Like I said, Working for Change last. I knew I'd mix that up. Jav Parrish, who works with Working for Change. How do people connect with your organization?
They can go to our website, which is www.toolsforchange.org, and they can come to the reading. We do workshops. They can also call our number, which is 206-329-2201. And if they're listening from a ways away, you can call an 800 number. It's 1-800-99-TOOLS. And the website has lots of information about what we're up to and ways to contact us directly. There's a little button that says how to contact us right on the website. So it's www.toolsforchange.org.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.